to episode 41 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a podcast from the St. Johns County Public Library System. I am here today with Miss Amy to discuss an anime that she chose and kind of surprised me on that one. So I'm going to ask you why you chose that later on.
Okay, fair. Hello. But,
hi. It's early morning and the coffee has not hit yet. Mm-mm. Why do we always record early in the morning?
No idea.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that.
Yes.
Have you been doing anything fun or nerdy since the last time we got together to record?
It's funny you mentioned that because you and I and some other friends, we've been doing this really fun zombie RPG. And I love this particular one because you play yourself. So you're putting yourself through these, well, I was going to say real world scenarios, but I guess zombies aren't that real.
No, particularly when they're zombie armadillos, which is still my favorite creation mm-hmm. in that show. And they will show up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The you guys need to stop avoiding all the people. Going to say, I had an entire scenario set up and you walked away.
But you know what? The point of zombies is to get away from the zombies. And we've been very good at that.
You have. You've been almost too good at it. Because the one scenario I had set up, you literally walked away from. And then you went someplace, I have no idea where it is.
We just like messing with you.
You do. You do. So keeping me on my toes. Yeah, I'm actually, so just to clarify, I'm running the game. And Miss Amy and a few of her friends are playing the game as I run it. So I get to like set up scenarios, lay out things, and then they tell me what they do. But lately it feels like they're more telling me what they're doing than me actually doing anything at this point.
And the other thing I like about it is it's set right here in our town. It's adjustable. Yes. So ours is set in St. Augustine. So we get to go running around looking for places to avoid zombies.
Yes. And you have found some very good options.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are talking about an anime that is called Robotech, which we're going to get into a little bit of the history of that and why I'm hesitant to somehow call that a anime, because it's technically three. But we've only watched the first 12 episodes, so we are firmly in the first saga of Robotech, which is all one anime series. So, and again, we'll get more into that. But let me go ahead and do a quick summary here. This is a very quick summary from Crunchyroll. After an alien ship crashes on Earth, humanity must use the secrets of robotechnology if it's to survive an endless intergalactic war. This anime is a mecha, a romance, and a little bit of an idol show, I would call it, mm-hmm. at this point. And so, Miss Amy, why did you choose Robotech? Because I asked you if you wanted to do a podcast with me. You said, yes, can we do Robotech?
Yes.
So what brought that out? Because I never even dreamed of doing this show.
Part of it was an excuse for me to watch Robotech again. Because honestly, I haven't seen it since... I watched it originally in the 80s when I was a wee little Amy. And I think I watched it again, like I borrowed the DVD from somebody like in the early 2000s, but I was like, I haven't seen that in a while. And I knew there was a lot of backstory to it. Like I knew there were other parts to the series, and I never really looked up or figured out what that was. So I figured this would be a good learning opportunity for me.
I'm going to give you the incredibly simplified version because I am not a rights lawyer, mm-hmm. and this involved a lot of lawyers.
Yes, I understood. Yeah, that part I heard about. But yeah, all the different storylines and all of the things. And this is one of the early animes that really made an impact on me when I was growing up.
Well, and apparently I was reading online, you know, various things from Reddit and so on. So not official sources, but people were saying, yeah, this is what got me into watching mm-hmm. anime. This is what kept me watching anime was mm-hmm. this show. So I have to admit, my only experience with Robotech before now as Robotech was walking through the used bookstore and seeing a whole bunch of mass market paperbacks that said Robotech.
Okay.
Other than that, I knew it was a mecha show. I knew it was animated. And I knew that it had been taken from Japan and changed.
Mm-hmm.
And my little purist soul went, I don't want to watch something that's been mucked up by the Americans. So I never actually watched it.
So this was your first time?
Well, sort of yes, sort of no.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually watched the original show that it's based on.
Got it.
Because okay. a friend had it in college, and I'm not going to ask him how. I think it was like one of the few physical releases that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually got to watch most of the first arc in the original Japanese.
Nice.
Which was...
different.
Different, but not as different as I thought it would be.
Oh, interesting.
Again, this is more unofficial things on the internet because I was trying to find out what that was changed, because it's mm-hmm. been like 20 some years since I watched mm-hmm. the first arc. And most of what people were saying online is the first arc of Robotech actually stayed very close to the source material.
Oh.
They changed some names to mm-hmm. be more Americanized. Mm-hmm. They changed, they apparently tried to cut out some of the drinking mm-hmm. because American audiences. They tried to cut out a few other things, which were then in the episode that we watched. So I think maybe now that it's online, they undid some of the TV cuts.
Okay.
Because it's no longer being broadcast on right. syndicated TV, which right. was a whole reason why the show wound up being the way it was. Again, we'll get into the history. When we're watching the first arc of Robotech, because mm-hmm. there's like three different arcs, mm-hmm. it is actually very close to the Japanese story.
That's good to know.
Which is very good to know. The later ones get changed a lot because they then have to try and match up with the first one. And someone online was like, yeah, the whole second arc technically doesn't take place on Earth, even though they say it takes place on Earth. So they had to keep airbrushing out a second moon. I don't know if this is true or not. Again, Reddit. But yeah. I'm like, I could see that happening. I mean, Pokemon, they changed a rolling rice ball to a hamburger.
Mm, yeah.
We're known for doing that to anime. I mean, Sailor Moon, we actually changed gender of some of the sailors. So, and cut out entire episodes. And Cardcaptor Sakura, they brought it over as Cardcaptors and tried to make the male character the main lead. and cut a 60-episode show down to 40.
Stuff happens.
Yes. This is why I traditionally don't watch Americanized animes, because a lot of the stuff in the 90s was very heavily changed mm-hmm. because they were trying to make it appropriate, I guess, more for a 7 to 10-year-old episode.
So these, though, were from the 80s. So I wonder mm-hmm. if that was before they had gotten more into aware of children.
Well, my question is being in the 80s, also I wonder if they weren't inadvertently aiming towards a older audience slightly, more the 10 and up?
Possibly. Because I was looking it up myself. I was like, was this a Saturday morning cartoon? Or yeah, is this one that came after school?
I never actually saw where it was syndicated.
It was in the afternoons. So this would have been the after school time slot. Okay. And I don't know how that works with, you know, age levels, but it wasn't a Saturday
Pokemon
morning
Pokemon was also an after school thing. And so okay. was Power Rangers. Yeah. But again, 80s versus
90s,
who knows?
Things were a bit more permissible in the 80s.
And it could have been on cable, which would have also made it different.
I don't think it was cable. Okay. I don't think it was. No, because I didn't have cable growing up. So.
All right. Because I know when I was a kid and very young and we had cable, mm-hmm. I could watch very different things than what I could watch when I was older and there was no cable and mm-hmm. we had four channels. Mm-hmm. So let me get into a little bit of the history of the show. So the first arc we watched is based on a show called Super Dimension Fortress Macross.
Great title.
Awesome title. And Super Dimension Fortress Macross was the beginning of a franchise that is still going strong in Japan.
Really?
Yes. I believe they have released I don't know what the newest season is, but like in the 2016s, they were still making Macross anime. This show is still alive, has a huge fan base, has a huge American fan base, has been very upset that there is no legal way to own, watch, or do anything with any Macross, mm-hmm. which is probably why Robotech has kept its popularity, because that's the only mm-hmm. way you can own any portion of the Macross franchise.
Okay.
So this is a huge thing. And the reason why we cannot have it legally in the States, or until recently, because in 2021 that changed. So Macross came out in 1982. It then was re-released in the United States as the first arc of Robotech in 1985. Between then and now, a gentleman named Carl Masek, M-A-C-E-K, saw Macross and went, I think this would do great on American television. However, in order to syndicate a television show in the United States at this time, and they wanted to do it for syndication because you get more money that mm-hmm. way, and not just do like a straight release on VHS right. tape or something like that, you have to had to have at least 65 episodes.
Okay.
So he went and looked and said, oh, look, this show looks similar. And this show looks similar. And let's go ahead and take three different shows and make it one show and call it Robotech.
So it's that guy.
Well, and I won't hate on him mm-hmm. because he went to Japan and said, this show is awesome. I want to bring it to the States. Mm-hmm. And he found a way to do it, mm-hmm. which in the 80s, probably not easy.
No.
I mean, most of our anime from back then that I know of that was on syndicated television was like Astro Boy and Speed Racer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to hate on the guy. I will hate on Harmony Gold because they have kept it under lock and key for ages and never seemed to release a physical edition of it until recently. We finally got Robotech at least on mm-hmm. Blu-ray from Funimation because they got the ability to do a physical release, I think, back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now available to buy again. But for years, it was hard to get. And for some reason, Harmony Gold has managed to hang on to their licensing of Macross no matter what until recently. So what happened is apparently there were two companies in Japan that were involved in the making of Super Dimension Fortress Macross and future Macross franchise stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One company made the deal with Harmony Gold. Another company did not.
Oh.
And so because they were both rights holders,
mm-hmm.
Harmony Gold was like, well, we have the license to this. We can do whatever we want with it in the States. This mm-hmm. is also why you haven't seen any new Robotech stuff in years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the secondary company that was not part of the licensing deal, now this is very simplified, apparently was like, no, you can't, not without our permission, and we have not given you license to do this.
Uh-huh.
So this has now involved 20 years of lawyers.
Oh, this is like that one Charles Dickens book, Bleak House.
Oh, what lawyers happened with that one?
Terrible things. Okay. And it drug on for about decades.
Yeah. So at this point in 2021, there was an agreement reached. There is now going to be an ability to release future Macross shows to America and English-speaking countries. However, it is now 2023, and I just saw the first announcement of a Blu-ray release happening yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So
it is good timing.
Yeah. Well, and it's apparently at, let me double check real quick here what's coming out. So they are at Anime Expo. They went ahead and announced that they will be releasing Macross Plus anime on Blu-ray disc in the United States, Canada, and Europe, and that is a company called Anime Limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also announced that a company called Animego, which I thought was a dead company but apparently isn't, will release Super Dimension Fortress Macross 2 Lovers Again anime on Blu-ray and disc. Now, the reason why they're not releasing the original Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, and this is the part that kind of makes me a little bit angry, is because the legal agreement was Harmony Gold still has the rights to that one.
Oh, no.
And they're not releasing a Japanese version of it.
Of course they're not.
So,
of course they're not.
So, yeah. So we have Macross coming, but we don't necessarily have the Macross we want coming.
Got it. Yeah.
But
baby steps.
Baby steps. Baby steps. We have something happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the other series that apparently this was part of is Saga 2 of Robotech. Had so we have the Macross Saga, which is Super Dimension Fortress Macross, and then the second set is from an anime from 1984 called Super Dimension Calvary Southern Cross, which I'm told was in the metaverse of Macross but not officially part of the Macross franchise.
Okay.
And that's the second segment of Robotech. The third segment of Robotech was something from that had nothing to do with Macross even remotely, called Genesis Climber Moss Pita.
Oh, okay.
And that was a 1983 anime. So not only are we like
right.
cramming three animes together, we're all from different years.
Okay.
But, and apparently, as I said, the first one, the Macross Saga, is most closely related to its original one. The second two were altered a bit more because they then had to be in the same storyline as Macross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The most positive remark I have seen online about this is it's amazing it works as well as it does. So I am curious to now watch all 80 some episodes of Robotech because I want to see how
it changes.
That,
yeah, yeah.
How it changes. But so yeah. So in a nutshell, that is how Robotech came to be and why it's parts of three series and why we haven't seen actual Macross stuff in decades
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
Lawyers.
Lawyers. And Japanese lawyers. There's a reason why K-pop is more popular than J-pop.
Because of what can get out.
Yes. Yes. But I went ahead, though, and I went online and I found the original opening for Super Dimension Fortress Macross. And I had you watch that before we did this because I have been watching, you know, we've been watching the Robotech opening. Yes. Completely different music.
Yes.
Some different footage, some the same.
Yes.
So when I started watching the Robotech, I went, I feel like Star Wars just started. Or, and then I was like, no, no, maybe it's closer to the Superman theme. Because it's all instrumental, and it was that very upbeat, very like, we're the hero, and we're here to save the day type music.
Yes.
How do you think that compares to the original Super Dimensional Fortress Macross opening?
From the one that I played, the American one didn't have the trumpets. I was really impressed by the trumpets. It was, the Japanese one definitely had some more verve to it, I think. It was much more, period.
I love the fact, though, that the singer is talking about these young men going out to fight to save their loved ones. It's more dramatic, more serious, I feel like. I feel like they were setting you up for a more serious show with that opening in some ways.
Good point.
And I've always, and I'm sorry, the guy who's, when he just starts belting out Macross, or in the Japanese way, Macross, oh, I can't say it right, but they don't say it the same way we do because Japanese versus English. And when he starts belting that out, it's just like, oh yeah.
Yes.
If you go scrolling through YouTube, there is somewhere in YouTube a video of a friend of mine from college and our former college anime president doing karaoke to the Super Dimensional Fortress Macross song.
Oh.
And he is down on his knees belting out at the very end. He was is going it. For it. And that's the way I feel like the singer in this was. What about the Robotech so far have you enjoyed the most?
I have really enjoyed, and this was part of the reason I think I enjoyed it early on. I was doing the math. I was like 9 when it came out.
Okay.
The
1985, I would have been 2.
So probably not watching it at that
no.
point. No. I liked the serialization of it all, where it wasn't just one little self-contained episode where everything was cleared up within 20 minutes. Like, you had to pay attention to all of the episodes to know what was happening. And that was something that I didn't really... I'm trying to think of other things that I was watching at that time, and
I'm
I don't
sure
really think there was anything
really
other than The Mysterious Cities of Gold, where you really had to pay attention to the storyline.
And you're bringing that up again?
Yes. Every single time you sit me down for an interview, I'm going to mention how much I want to do that particular anime.
If you can find a new release of it or a place to watch it online, legally.
Legally. But no, that's what I really liked about it. It was a storyline. It wasn't just, you know, fun stuff that was happening, and you know, there was backstory, and I liked, especially now watching it as an adult, realizing how much backstory they put into the characters. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of backstory.
Some of it I like, and some of it I don't. I will say Lisa's backstory gets a. Yeah, but it makes her so annoying at times.
I know, but Lisa's my favorite.
She is. By the way, her name in the Japanese version is Misa, not Lisa.
Lisa. Okay, I see where that came.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this time around I was thinking, you know, there's definitely two types of people in the world. There's the Lisas in the world and there's the Minmays in the world. And I think that growing up, I realized I was probably going to be more of a Lisa.
And Minmay is the type of girl that's a love-hate thing. Because... I get the feeling she's really nice. Mm-hmm. She's portrayed as being really nice. But she's not...
She's flighty.
She's flighty. Flighty is a good word for her.
Yep.
And I feel sorry for our main character, Rick, because he has fallen head over heels for this very flighty girl.
Yes, that never ends well.
No. So he's constantly feeling whiplashed about everything. Like, does she like me? Does she not like me? Are we serious? Are we not serious? And... there's one scene where he forgets to get her a birthday present, and then he gets called out to battle. And then he comes back, and all the shops are closed, and he can't find her a birthday present. And he's standing outside her restaurant, because she lives on the second floor of that, going, I don't know what to do. And she opens the window and goes, oh, it's not too late for you to give me my birthday present. It's not midnight yet. And he gives her his medal that he just won. And she goes, oh, it's pretty and sparkly. I like it.
Yep. I think that sums up
and
their relationship right there.
You don't even register the fact he just gave you, like, a military medal. It's just like, it's pretty and sparkly. And I was like, yeah, that's been me.
Yeah, that pretty much.
Granted, she is only 16.
Yes.
So
I had that discussion over the weekend with some friends. One of my best friends up in Connecticut, she, her husband and I, we get together every other week and do some Steam games online.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Robotech, and I was like, I didn't realize how young Minmay was because the scene about her 16th birthday came up. I was like, that kind of creeped me out. And they were like, well, Rick was supposed to be 14 years old. And I'm like, whoa, hold the phone. He was flying planes, apparently. Well, he had started off as a family.
Yeah, because his family was a family flying circus or something, right. He said in the first episode.
Right, where they could probably get away with having kids, you know, flying airplanes.
I thought, he was running around 16, 17 at this point.
Possibly, but from what I understood, he was a lot younger. And the creepy part was that Lisa was supposed to be 20 years old, so she was the one who was being kind of creepy.
Which is why I always thought he was 17, because of the relationship that starts developing between him and Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the differences between Robotech and Macross is when Rick and Lisa first meet. In Robotech, he calls her a sourpuss.
Yes.
In Macross, he calls her an old lady. And so she's very upset on both accounts.
Right.
But it's like he accents how old she is every time they meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she can't be that old.
Mm-mm.
And because of things I know that happened later on between the two, I'm like, I hope she isn't that old.
Right.
Because I always assumed Rick was somewhere around 17, 18, because I highly doubt they'd have a 14-year-old kid going and flying missions in space and shooting things down. And he acted more like he was...
Kind of.
A little bit, yeah.
But he had some characteristics that didn't make him seem that mature at times. At any rate, it just makes me really wish that anime just didn't have ages in it.
As I said, I don't think in the show they actually give Rick's age.
Mm.
So, which, by the way, he was called Hikaru in the...
Okay,
so
Rick, got it.
Yeah, yeah. Roy, though, is the same name in both series.
Nice. So I did forget that we had agreed on 12 episodes.
So how far did you actually get?
I got through three out of five of the discs.
Oh, so you've seen almost all of it.
I have.
See, and I'm going off vague memory of what I saw from Super Dimension Fortress Mac. SDF. Let's just go SDF Macross, which is how most people.
Oh, that's why they call it the ship.
Yes, that's why they call it the ship.
That makes so much sense. I've been wondering, like, what is that?
They never mention Super Dimension Fortress, but they leave the ship called SDF.
Right.
As I said, that's why I think Carl Masick really did like this series and just wanted to bring it to the States, but he had to change things so he could do it.
Right.
Because he left a lot of those little things in there that he could have changed.
Yep.
Main things they changed also was protoculture was different in the main series than what it wound up being in the American Robotech one, because protoculture was literally like a...
Spoilers, I haven't gotten to the point where they talk about it yet.
Well, this is what it was in the Japanese one.
Okay.
Protoculture in the Japanese one was more of a culture that gave life to all species in space type idea.
Okay.
And the Zentradi are... freaked out by it because they are so far removed from protoculture and it's such a foreign concept to them, but they're also fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the humans are closer to protoculture.
Okay.
So at least that was my vague understanding I got. It never was very clear.
Like I said, I'm three discs in and they still haven't explained it.
Yeah, I don't think they ever really truly explained it, but that was the feeling I got when I was watching it, is that the humans brought protoculture back to the Zentradi.
Got it.
Because they were closer to it than the Zentradi were. Which, by the way, the Zentradi are the evil aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they stand...
gazillions of feet
20,
high.
20, 30 feet high.
And that was the other thing I really liked about this particular show, is that while it was very science fiction, it was very hard science fiction. I mean, you have spaceships, you have aliens. It wasn't like the other science fiction cartoons, animes at the time. Because of that storyline of the characters, it really just... it humanized the entire experience. It wasn't just, you know, technology for the sake of technology.
Well, and I like the main Zentradi guy that's always talking. I forget what his name was. And he has, like, the eye patch mask thing on his face and his little tiny short scientist guy that his advisor and science advisor type idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like him because he's not as overly aggressive mm-hmm. against the humans. Yeah, he has no qualms about killing them, mm-hmm. but he wants to find out what makes them tick, why right. they do what they do, and then kill them.
Yes. Like a good scientist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it gives him a little bit more character, I think, than some of the others in Trotty that are just uh-huh. like, we're going to go kill everybody.
Right. Right.
So, and I like his voice actor in the American version dub, so... Mm-hmm. But the weird echoing effect they do with the Zentradi voices sometimes makes it a little hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about the hard science. I will say one of the things I love about Macross and Robotech is that it's a mecha anime with mecha that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe except for the giant fortress mecha that SDF Macross turns into. But the ones that they have that are part plane, and then they are planes, and then they become planes with legs, and then they become full mecha suits.
Yes.
I really like that design.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole, like, Transformer aspect to it, I was like, I forgot about this. And that was part where it was basically, you know, like the Transformers, but with a really good storyline.
Yeah. Well, and I like the way that there's one scene where Rick is fighting the giant Zentradi general,
mm-hmm.
and he's using the transformative abilities of his suit to try and fight him, mm-hmm. which I thought that was a really cool, well-thought-out scene, because he's going from half-plane to full suit to all this, trying to fight off this guy, and he's out of bullets, so mm-hmm. he's having to do hand-to-hand fighting, and he's using that for his movement, and I was like, that's really cool, and I was glad that, because I thought it was a good use of the mech suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because other mech that I've watched is mostly like I've watched some Gundam and stuff, and it's just the mechs look cool, but they're like overblown, mm-hmm. not realistic at all. There's no way, and there's like usually some kind of special energy that powers them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the feeling that these mech suits are more, you could make detailed plans of what they mm-hmm. are and how they work, and they show screens and buttons, and he's actually having to control it completely. It's not just a magical
right hit a button and it does
hit
all
a button
the stuff.
And it does all the stuff. Yeah.
That was the other thing I found really interesting, that this was set in 1999. I was like,
so far in the future.
Yes.
Was it?
That's when the ship initially landed.
But the actual story, I think, is set like
10 years later.
I was going to say like 10, 15 years later, because they've been studying and rebuilding
yes.
the ship.
Yes.
I love the fact that apparently in 1999, though, we were in a major global war that had been going on for ages. And uh-huh. I was like, Japan, how bleak. Can't quite blame them, but yeah. How bleak.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, the timelines, I got a good chuckle out of those.
Yeah. And you know what? Just thinking of it, that might be why some people thought Rick was 14, is because he hadn't been a soldier in the war, and they might have assumed if he was older, he would have already been drafted.
Oh, good point. Very good
point. Because he was very much I don't want to go to war.
Mm-mm.
But his friend, who he calls older brother,
right.
Roy, has been a soldier, has been at war and everything.
Right.
So, but I don't know. It could be that because of something else, he was not eligible to become a soldier, or maybe they didn't have a draft. So I don't know. I still see him as being more mm-hmm. like 17 years old, quite honestly. So you said your favorite character was Lisa.
Absolutely.
What makes Lisa your favorite character?
Well, first of all, she's just very practical. She's down to earth. She does what she needs to do. But as I was paying attention to her backstory, that's the part that I really started to like. Because as it goes over her relationship with her fiance, I think...
Fiance or very close boyfriend, almost fiance.
Somewhere in between.
Because I don't think they ever said it was her fiance, but they kind of implied
it. And how she changed, I mean, this was mentioned in the first 12 episodes, so we can go spoiler free, right? So apparently he dies during the war. And the idea that she changed so completely, because when you look at those little flashbacks, she's very much more Minmay-like. She's younger. Even her tone of voice is completely different.
Yeah.
So that level of innocence that she has, where, you know, the world is still a great place.
She doesn't look quite so straight-laced and uptight.
No. And when you see Lisa today, well, today then, where she has
her hair up.
No, not all the time, though.
Well, except for when the way she does her hairstyle, because later on you see her, and her hair is like down to her waist.
Mm-hmm.
So she has her hair tucked up in a way, but it's still shoulder length. It's a weird hairstyle.
Yeah, but it's that she's a little bit more harsh. She's a little bit less forgiving. She's a little more not...
like when all the ladies on the deck are joking about going to parties the night before yeah. and stuff like that, she was definitely not doing that and did not approve.
Mm-mm, no. And it was a nice piece of character development that didn't need to be there, but it really explained who she was, especially when you had the stark difference between who she was then and who she was now. And I really appreciate that level of detail that they put into her.
Yeah, and I find it a little disturbing about how willing she is to die. Like, twice, she pretty much says, leave me and let me die. And yeah. I'm like,
Yeah, that's a level of depression that hasn't gone away.
Yeah, she's still, because, like, she was sitting in her, I guess, fiancé's mm-hmm. old living quarters. She found them looking at one of his books. Well, the entire base is about to explode around her, and she just plans on sitting there and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick has to literally grab her and drag her out of there with his mech suit to keep her from doing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, she has not Mm-mm. had any closure on this Mm-mm. at all at this point.
Mm-mm.
But maybe being able to go to the base and seeing his living quarters, that might help a little bit. I don't know. But she's still, even later on, though, when they're trapped by the Zentradi,
mm-hmm.
she's like, oh, go, leave me alone, and go back to the ship.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're going to come rescue you.
Mm-hmm.
And she just seems too willing to sacrifice herself for others
mm-hmm.
when sometimes she doesn't need to. Now, the second case, I think she had more of a need.
Right.
Because she was actually already captured.
Yeah.
They were free. They could have gone back to the ship and been okay. But the first time, there was no need. Like, Mm-mm. Rick was sent to go get her.
Mm-hmm.
There was no need for her to stop running to leave the base. There was no need for her to just sit there and refuse to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he was already there. It wasn't going to make a difference whether he grabbed her or didn't grab her.
And that's a character with dimension.
Yeah. And Minmay, in her own way, has dimension, too.
Yes.
Because, which we see more later on in the series than mm-hmm. I think in the first 12 episodes, because she's just starting down her path.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, she's living with her aunt and uncle,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know why.
You do find out a little bit later.
Yeah. Which I know she still has parents, mm-hmm. so, but. And she says she wants to get into entertainment,
mm-hmm.
which she's a little vague on that, but in essence, she wants to be a singer,
mm-hmm.
which in Japan would probably mean like idol singer, which is a very, there's been a lot of anime made about idol singers. It is not a very good profession. It's not a very glamorous well, it is glamorous, but it's very hard on the people that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
They have very strict rules they have to live by. They have to have a schedule. They have to do this. They have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very hard job to have,
mm-hmm.
which if I remember right, later on in Robotech/Macross, they do show that Minmay just gets overwhelmed
yes.
and exhausted
yes.
by this.
Yes, she does.
Which is why I say this is partially an idol show, because you're following Minmay
mm-hmm.
and she's taking the idol path.
Mm-hmm.
It's partially a war show because you have Rick and Lisa and Roy and they're soldiers mm-hmm. at this point. And it's just, I love the mixing of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it makes the show more complete having those two sides than just having
yes.
the mecha,
yep.
just having this. I think the best thing that happened to the designers of the show is deciding the entire town was going to come with them
yes.
into space.
That one cracked me up, especially when they started getting the sky and the sunset just right in the,
yeah,
the background,
like,
of the, yeah,
the ship. The scientists figured out how to do sky.
Yes.
And I was like,
I would have liked to have seen that part.
Yes. The scientists are figuring out a lot of stuff really fast for this poor ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think overall for this one, I really liked, and again, in retrospect, they have a lot of adult themes in there. Like, you have character death that's happening. You have major character death that's happening. You
yeah.
have...
Well, later on, doesn't, like, one of the main characters
yeah.
die? Okay,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be ready if you're watching Robotech.
Yeah, and I liked... even some of the things that I liked and some of the things that left me kind of curious. I really like the character of Claudia. I thought
I
she was
Claudia.
Fantastic.
Claudia is one of my favorite characters in design
mm-hmm.
and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. To be honest, I love the whole bridge crew, all the ladies up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very curious. And I'm just sitting there going, why is the entire bridge crew
yes.
ladies?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different things. Like, I was talking to my friends about it and they were like, well, it's probably because it was like, oh, in the 80s, they're like, oh, women can do anything. But I was like, but it's all
but
women.
It's also Japan. Japan
and,
runs like 2 decades behind.
Right. So, and at first I was like, well, maybe it's because they didn't have women in combat and the women had to be doing, you know, these
Which,
computer
jobs.
If
you
jobs.
Do notice, most of the women are not flying the
right.
mechs or anything
exactly.
like that. They're only in, but they are in command positions.
Right. And it does happen a little later where you start to see some more women who are actually flying the planes, but the entire room full of women with the one male commander did leave me wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
It did leave a weird taste.
Well, and I also wonder if part of it isn't because Macross was not actually supposed to go into space.
Mm-hmm. True.
So they were there to train on the ship to, they were running things. They were there in case aliens came, which they did, but they weren't necessarily supposed to go into space. So I wonder if maybe this was kind of a, we have these really well-trained women. We don't know what to do with them. Oh, look, we have a ship here.
Right.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So it could have been that too, because there are some comments that are made about women in the show that I was like, that is very 80s. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
That is very 80s. So just be aware, this is definitely a product of the 80s and a bit dated at times.
But what I really liked about it, back to Claudia, is that Claudia and Roy, you didn't really see too many representations of interracial relationships at the time at all.
No.
So I really liked that.
And actually in anime, you didn't see a lot of characters that were not Caucasian/Asian looking.
Yep.
So Claudia is very unique in that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as I said, I just love the way, and I love the fact they gave her a green uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the difference is between all their uniforms, because they got several different colors going on, but her uniform is so distinct. It makes her stand out even more.
Yep.
So.
She was, yeah, I loved Claudia.
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that every time you see them and they're not on the bridge, the girls are all chit-chatting and having fun and just making...
Doing girl things.
Mm-hmm. Going shopping and laughing at Rick and teasing him.
Yep. So definitely dated, but still good.
But still fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to talk about the Zentradi some more, since they are our main protagonists? I mean, we haven't really learned a whole ton about what is going on with them.
Mm, I mean, they were an interesting part of the storyline, but...
Sorry, not main protagonist. Antagonist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know where that...
Coffee. More coffee.
Yeah. Early morning.
I liked their perspective of how they were trying to get to know the Micronians better and how they were trying to just understand why they were ticking, and later their complete obsession with Minmay. Like, they all fall in love with Minmay.
Well, it's because she can see.
Yes. So they're an interesting
antagonist. I do
antagonist.
Love the fact they're trying to figure... Okay, so dated part of the show is there is a Miss Macross beauty pageant.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I forgot about that.
Which is a very 80s
so
thing.
So bad.
Very 80s thing.
So bad. But, bathing suit competition. Oh
yes, with a bathing suit competition. I will say it did allow for one of my favorite parts, though, which is the Zentradi watching this bathing suit competition, trying to figure out what is going on. And they're having huge arguments about what this means,
right.
What it is. And one guy is like, no, it's got to be some kind of military uniform. It's got to be this, because they can't understand anything that doesn't involve military.
Right.
Yeah. So they have no concept of fun.
Yeah, they're like, it's some bulletproof armor. It's got to be.
It's got to be a bulletproof armor.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it doesn't cover enough. Well, maybe that's the only place they're vulnerable.
Yeah, that was funny. That part was funny.
So I was like, I forgive you for the beauty contest, because A, you are a 1980s Japanese anime, and I understand this, and B, it was worth it for the whole Zentradi discussion on what is a swimsuit.
Yep. Yeah, and that just illustrated how far removed they are from the reality of, humans doing human stuff.
Things. Yep. Yeah, because they couldn't wrap their minds around us doing something that was not military related. And I just love the fact that these three are continuously arguing for like the next three episodes every time you see them over what is going on with these humans.
Yeah. It was an interesting step back to look at, what we take for granted every day and how other people might look at it.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that I liked, and I don't remember if this happens within the first 12 episodes, it might come later, but Minmay's cousin enters the scene.
So that is later, because I have not gotten to Minmay's cousin, but I am aware of this from, as I said, previous watching.
One of the really interesting things, and again, kind of going back to the adult themes of things, is that he is firmly anti-war. He is firmly anti-military.
Rick started out a little bit that way, but because...
Not to the extent of the cousin.
Not to this extent, but as I said, and also he, because of his circumstances, had to pretty much...
Right. And it was just an interesting look, because you have the dichotomy between, these are military characters, and what they're doing and what they're giving up. And you really start to see some of the impact that the war has had on their lives. And then you have this guy just coming in and making these assumptions about who they are. So it's a really interesting look at how people can have these misperceptions about people who aren't like themselves. And something as simple as occupation or beliefs. It was something I wasn't anticipating in what I had watched as a child.
Yes. So what drew me to anime was I loved animation, but I was now an adult, And Disney princess movies were not going to cut it necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then I found some anime shows and I started watching them. And I was like, there is so much story here. Uh-huh. And that's not true of all anime. I will say that right up front. I have watched some of the stupidest anime. But some of them have really good story and really good background and interesting things that make you think. And Macross, you can watch it superficially and just enjoy the story. But as you said, when you start following some of the characters and start thinking about it, it actually goes surprisingly deep at times.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
I also love the fact that they can end the war by singing.
Yeah, I mean, oh, the 80s.
That is the most 80s thing ever.
Yeah, but that's like having a dance off to, you know, yeah.
So I had you watch a clip of Min Mei singing My Boyfriend is a Pilot.
Oh, yeah, that cracked me up.
Which they actually mention the name of the song in Robotech.
Uh-huh.
And then they play something. She sings something that I think is supposed to be that song.
Yeah.
But it's all about how she is sparkly. She is wonderful. Uh-huh. She is this.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I sent you the original My Boyfriend is a Pilot with mm-hmm. the subtitles so you could know what the song was supposed to be, because it's literally about her boyfriend taking off in a plane, doing all this, and is he going to ignore me? Is he going to leave me? Does his love his plane more than me?
Uh-huh.
And all this stuff. And I was like, that seems like a more appropriate song for Macross than Min Mei's I'm Sparkly and Shiny song.
Yeah. Oh, Min Mei.
But the funny thing about My Boyfriend is a Pilot is it has become like the anthem of Macross, more so than the opening song in some ways.
I did not realize that.
That song reappears in future renditions of Macross mm-hmm. series. It kind of travels its way through the series. It is the song. Because I think it was also that song that causes Entrati to become like, this is amazing. We love songs. And I'm just like, the stupid little song.
Yep. My boyfriend is a pilot.
Yeah, my boyfriend is a pilot. Mm. But yeah, it's just, I watched the American one and I went, that's a terrible song.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese one is better. Mm-hmm. I won't say it's a great song, but it definitely is more of an 80s pop song than whatever Min Mei was singing in the Robotech version.
Yes, yes.
I think we are coming close to the end here of our time. Was there any other comments or thoughts you want to make about the Robotech/Macross?
Not really. It definitely held up over the years. I mean, I enjoyed watching it, and I'm going to finish watching the next two DVDs to just see what happens next.
I was watching it off Crunchyroll, and I don't know if it was to transfer the Crunchyroll or not, but there were certain scenes where the animation quality just seemed to, like, boom, gone. Like, their eyes suddenly became, like, little black dots instead of actual eyes. And there's one scene where everything was, like, painted red, and I couldn't really figure out the reason, and it was all blurry and hard to see.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, as I said, I don't know if it was the transfer to Crunchyroll. Maybe they're going off some older footage or something. But I would like to try and maybe get a hold of the Blu-ray copy, at least of the first arc, and see if it looks any better on a Blu-ray. But maybe not. Maybe that's just the age of the material and they're not able to go back to the original cells and re-update it. But in general, character design, the mecha design, the ship design. I love the town in
yes.
the ship.
Yes.
I think they did a really, all of that holds up really well.
Oh, and I want to talk about stuff that happens later on, but it wasn't in the first 12 episodes. It was another aspect of it really having adult themes, but I won't. You have to watch it for yourself.
Okay.
You have to watch it.
Yeah, this is rated TV-14, so yes. definitely on the adult theme thing.
Yeah, and not adult as in, you know, swearing or cuss words or nudity,
but more
of the deeper issues.
Yeah, yeah, not superficial.
Not superficial at all.
We're not watching Care Bears.
Except for Min Mei. Yeah.
Well, I think even Min Mei gains depth.
She does, but it takes a while.
It does. It does. It takes her a while to grow up.
Yeah.
So one last thing that I enjoyed about the show, and it was a stupid little thing, is Rick wants to get a picture of him and Min Mei together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he summons like this little robot camera.
Yes, that was random.
And I'm just like, So we have a robot that is smart enough that you can call for a picture bot and it will find you. It will like set up the perfect shot.
Yep.
It will take the picture when you say cheese,
yep.
but it still prints out a Polaroid. And I was like, yes, this is an 80s show.
Yep. Yep.
It's that mix of high tech that doesn't really exist yet
yeah.
and tech we have right now.
Yes. Yes. That cracked me up also.
But yeah, none of this digital picture thing.
Yep.
It's no, you get handed an actual Polaroid at the end of the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I love the little robots they have running around in mm-hmm. the town. And I wonder how much of that was in their previous town on Earth, or if this is a Macross scientists have been busy thing.
Right.
It's like the scientists are like, we have to do something with our spare time.
Right.
Let's make a little picture robot.
Yeah. I mean, we've already made Sky. What else is there?
Yeah. And somehow they wound up with trees and
yeah.
everything else. So,
yeah.
Well, what happened? No, now that I think of it, trees actually make sense because they had the whole space fold thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the entire island out mm-hmm. into space. So it makes sense they might have been able to rescue some of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. Of course, a whole giant tuna floating by at one mm-hmm. time
yep.
was a little
yep.
weirded me out a little bit.
Yep.
Because there was a part where Minmay and Rick nearly died
mm-hmm.
getting lost on the ship, which mm-hmm. I was like, that is a scary thought. This spaceship is so big, there's whole parts of it they haven't explored yet.
Yep.
And it's been 10 years.
Yep.
All right. Well, then, if you don't have any more final thoughts, what kind of, so far, because I forgot to do this at the beginning of the episode, what kind of star rating would you give Robotech so far?
And like 1 out of 5?
Yeah.
I might give it a full-on 5.
Full-on 5?
Yeah.
I am going to give it a 4 just mm-hmm. because I have seen the original Japanese one
oh.
and mm-hmm. I like the music a lot better in that one.
Fair.
But yeah. But I agree. This they at least the Macross saga. I don't know if Robotech the transfer over holds up,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like the Macross saga they did their best to bring it to America without losing all of the things that made it Macross. And
mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. And as I said, some people might be like, "Ugh, how dare they mess with our anime?" and me to a certain extent, a little bit, because like taking 3 shows and cramming them together just because you need more episodes, I was like, come on, Americans, get with times. You can do something different. Replay some episodes here and there.
Well, for me, as someone who dabbles in anime occasionally, especially as a 9-year-old me, when I'm thinking about this, like there wasn't really anything else like that that was available to the average kid in South Florida, you know, watching TV after school.
Yeah. Well,
this was something special.
The closest thing I watched growing up that I would say was something like this where it had a whole long storyline, but it still was episodic at times, would have been David the Gnome.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever saw that.
Mm-mm.
It was on Nick Jr. when Nick Jr. first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was still living up north because that's when we had cable. And I love David the Gnome. I watched every episode as it came out. It was very different than anything else I had seen on TV. And I found out the reason why is because it was a Spanish cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that would explain it. It came
yep.
from Europe. That's why it didn't have that American feel to it.
Yep.
In some ways, Robotech almost feels more like something from 80s America
mm-hmm.
in some ways. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's because 80s America was also looking to Japan for
right.
ideas.
Right.
So yeah, so you give it a 5, I give it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
But that's partially because we're coming from different
mm-hmm.
sides of it.
Yep.
I would still love to see the original Super Dimensional Fortress Macross on a really nice Blu-ray collector's edition with the Japanese and the English dub. That would be fun. Because for an 80s dub,
mm-hmm.
this is pretty good.
It was.
It's very good.
It was really good.
For an 80s dub, this is amazingly good.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might have complaints with it today because some dubs are better. But to tell you the truth, I've seen worse modern dubs than were done for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why, again, I think the company that brought it, Carl Masick, who was in charge of this, I think he really loved it and
mm-hmm.
did his best.
Yep.
I'm not convinced Harmony Gold as a whole did. I think they were going more, we want the money.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining me, Sammy. Thank you for recommending this show.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I was going to avoid it altogether because I was like, I don't want to do an American version of an anime. But as I said, when I was watching it, I have seen some of the original Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, and I was like, I actually feel almost like I'm watching a dub of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only until they start singing that I go, that's not right. That is so not right. But So, and with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up here. If anybody listening has any thoughts or comments they want to add to this, if you've watched Robotech or anything else, or have any recommendations for future episodes, you can go ahead and email me at the email address that's in the show notes. And if you have any friends that enjoy anime, go ahead and share this podcast with them. I would love to see more people listening to it because it is so much fun to make.
It is.
It is. And especially when I have to track down all my coworkers and go, will you watch an anime? yeah, some things in future we have coming. Zoe will be back on future episodes. She was just on family vacation, so we had trouble scheduling around that. So we will have Zoe back, and I think we have Mr. Keith lined up for a couple more episodes. So fun times.
And I do just want to say, Team Mysterious Cities of Gold.
Yeah, they need to make a re-release of it. Track down whoever holds the rights and start hounding them.
B-side episode.
Tell you what, next time you're on, we will do a special Why Amy Loves Cities of Gold 10-minute segment. How's
okay.
that?
Deal.
So next time you're on, plan on doing that.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay. And with that, goodbye.
Bye.